The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home. Hello, Northumberland County, and welcome to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's Real Estate Talk Show, where we take on, we talk about, and we interview guests on all things real estate with a direct focus on Northumberland County and all the communities within it. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm a real estate broker, and my co-host is Dave Smith, Certified Home Inspector. Good morning, Dave.
Hello, Dale. Starting the show a little early today, are we?
No, we're right on time.
Oh, okay.
We're right on time.
All right.
So how was your week?
That was a reference to my
Starting the show on time. Yes, yeah, in reference to a couple weeks ago when you showed up 45 minutes late.
Yeah, but yeah. I brought content. When I came, I did 15 minutes of action-packed content.
Yeah, you said goodbye well. So today, Dave, our show, we're going to be looking at the local real estate practices that go on here in Northumberland County. We'll be comparing them to some real estate practices that go on outside our county in larger centers. We'll also be looking at real estate etiquette, and we will have returning guest Evelyn Vandermeer, a sales representative with REMAX Lakeshore Realty Inc. Brokerage, and we will also have another returning guest, Aaron Toms, a sales representative with Northumberland Hills Realty Inc. Brokerage. Dave will also be covering how to survive your home inspection. I hope you're ready for that, and our listeners are ready for you. And we'll be looking at a snapshot of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. And as always, we will do our points to ponder. How about that, how to survive your home inspection, Dave?
Would you like me to roll right into that? Is that what you're prompting me? Is that what all the hand movement's about? You want me to get on with the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. How to survive your home inspection. As you know, every week I'm going to pull from my list of the most common items that are found during my inspections, and many of them are minor, some of them are even trivial, but in my experience, as they start adding up during the inspection, a buyer can start feeling overwhelmed and maybe even concerned about buying your house. Therefore, the more items you can reduce from the list, the better. So my next on the list is fresh light bulbs. Now, we've touched on this before, but it's a really good one. It's a simple one. You should go through your home and check every light fixture. Replace the bulbs that are expired. This has happened to me at least in the last house I did, which will remain nameless, but the last house I did, I would say that probably 20% of the house did not have light bulbs or functioning light fixtures. That is very difficult to inspect a home, and it doesn't shine well. Nice, eh? See, I could just come up with this stuff, Dale.
Yes, you can come up with this stuff and pat yourself on the back as you go.
Here's a hint. You can avoid a comment about an inoperable light fixture in the report with a simple light bulb. But because we have two guests, Dale, I have a special bonus round in honor of our two guests today. So the second tip, bonus tip, is update your smoke detectors. If your smoke detectors are more than 10 years old, it's time to update them. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even wait that long. But you should install them inside each bedroom on the ceilings. Purchase smoke detectors that have a 10-year rated battery. This is a new thing, but smoke detectors have come down dramatically in price. They're relatively inexpensive. The technology has improved. And also install plug-in carbon monoxide detectors on each floor. We're all about value added here on Reality Realty, Dale.
Thank you for the value added, Dave.
That will be how to survive your home inspection this week.
All right. Well, let's take a look at a snapshot now of today's residential real estate market here in Northumberland County. Now, sales over the past month, in previous weeks, Dave, we were looking at numbers like 128 last week, 136 the week before, 136 the week before that. There were only 110 sales over the past, over the past month in Northumberland County. So the sales have definitely decreased a little bit, and listings that are for sale today, we presently have an inventory of 430 residential listings here on the board in Northumberland County. Now, if we take a look over the past year, and every week we do this, we shift 1 week further in the
So this is a rolling, where when we talk about in the last month, when you refer to the last month, you're talking about rolling backwards from this week, 4 weeks.
From today, right? Not the over, calendar the over the past four okay. weeks. And yeah, so that's how we do it. So it's always a 1 week shift. So if we take a look over the past 12 months of the homes that have successfully sold, they on average, they were listed for approximately $306,000. And they were selling for, on average, $297,000. So the selling prices remain the same, and people were receiving approximately 97% of their asking price in 74 days. And really, Dave, since we started the show in, what, October, that market time has just been slowly going down.
Almost 10%, if you look at the numbers, almost 10% drop.
Very close to that. The absorption rate, we figure out an absorption rate based on these statistics to find out, are we in a buyer's market, a seller's market, or a balanced market? And as of today, we have a 26% absorption rate in general for residential real estate. And so it is still definitely a seller's market. There is definitely less inventory than there have been sales. So if you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the future, you'll want these kind of numbers that are more specific to the home that you're looking for or selling. So talk to your realtor, and they can give you this information more specific to what you're looking at, and it will definitely give you an advantage in the buying or selling. These statistics and the information I use to calculate the absorption rate come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. So, Dave, if we look at today's mortgage rates, Bank of Canada cut the key interest rate to 0.5% yesterday. Within minutes, TD Bank lowered their prime rate to 2.75. And later on, other lenders, they opted to make a 15 basis point cut, 5 basis points more than TD did. So as of this morning, TD matched them. Now, our interest rates were still at a 2.05 for best variable, 5-year variable, and we're still at a 2.54 for the best fixed rate. Will they lower? Will the lenders lower? We'll have to wait for the next day or two to see if they pass along those rates to the consumers. So these rates come to us from mortgage broker Carol Ann Bryant at the Mortgage Wellness Group here on Elgin Street in Coburg. What do you think of those rates, Dave?
I think they're great. I'm not really in charge of them. You probably thought I was, but I'm not. But I think they're great. There was talk not that long ago of going up within the last 3 to 4 months. Talks about rates climbing back up to more traditional numbers. So it just goes to show you it's hard to predict. And they're trying to stimulate the economy, and this is the way they're trying to do it.
Thank you. Again, more value. Oh, more value.
Put that in your
two tips and
put that in your pocket.
Yeah, and perspective on mortgage rates. So let's take a look at our points to ponder. And so today I thought we'd take a look at the Ontario Cottage. So many people love the curb appeal and a layout of an Ontario cottage. And these Ontario cottages, they date from the early 1830s to the 1870s. And even every now and again, you'll see a reproduction of an Ontario cottage. Because they're so popular, builders will build a reproduction of them. And why are they named an Ontario cottage? It's basically because of the immense popularity of them here in Ontario. This architectural style, Dave, it can commonly be found in Britain as well. I'm curious if they're actually calling them Ontario cottages in Britain.
I'm thinking they don't.
I'm thinking maybe they don't either. But funny enough, they really never caught on in the U.S. So how in the world do you know if you're looking at an Ontario cottage? Well, it'll be rectangular in shape. They're fairly simple in shape. They don't look very large either. Typically, curb appeal, it looks like a smaller home. A lot of people, Dave, think that an Ontario cottage is just a one-story bungalow, but they can be a one-story or a one-and-a-half-story dwelling. They have a hipped roof. That means that there's four planes on the roof. It's not a gable roof with just two planes that meet at the top. So they have a hipped roof. And they're basically a three-bay facade architecture, with the center bay being the focal point of the home, the center bay being the door, and the other two bays being the windows. And the door, they really try to accent with either a side light and or a transom above the doors, so it lets extra light into that center hallway. And another really distinguishing feature is they actually have a bit of a gable roof above the door. And within that, just underneath that gable, especially in the Port Hope area, there's something that they call a fan. What is it called? A fan light. And it's another window. And there's glazing that stems from the bottom center out to the top of this semicircle, semi-elliptical window that resembles a fan. Another thing is verandas. Verandas were a big thing on Ontario cottages. A lot of them had full front verandas, and they could have multiple side verandas and even wraparound verandas around the whole home. So very popular architectural style, the Ontario cottage. And a lot of this information, Dave, I looked up in a book put out by the Port Hope branch of the Architectural Conservancy of Ontario. And it's a book on architectural styles of homes in Port Hope. And it's called From Georgian to Vernacular. I picked it up at Furby House Books, downtown Port Hope. What a really neat book. If this is the sort of thing that you enjoy looking at, I definitely recommend dropping in, picking up the book. A great coffee table book as well.
This is Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio. Join Dale and myself after this short break. We're going to have local real estate practices, real estate etiquette, and thoughts from our panel of local real estate professionals. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Realty Realty Northumberland 89.7 FM's Local Real Estate Talk. Today we have two guests in the studio with us. We have Evelyn Vandermeer, Real Estate Sales Representative from RE/MAX Lakeshore Realty Inc. Brokerage. Welcome, Evelyn, and thank you for joining us again.
You're quite welcome.
And we also have Aaron Toms, Sales Representative with Northumberland Hills Realty Inc. Brokerage. And Aaron is also a returning guest. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you, Dale.
So we brought in the cream of the crop again. There were great reviews from last time. Well, we did. Honestly, I know you're smiling at me right now, but we did have good feedback from when both of you were in. So, I mean, why not keep the ratings high, right?
Thank you.
So, what I want to talk about today, as realtors, we're licensed professionals. We're governed by a number of laws. We're governed by REBA, the Real Estate and Business Brokers Act. We have things like the Competition Bureau and the rules associated with that. And just to name a couple, also being members of a local board of the Ontario Real Estate Board, the Canadian Real Estate Board, and any other organizations we might be members of, there's always a code, or typically a code of ethics, that also governs the way we do business. But I thought today we'd look at something just slightly different. There may be some overlaps in it, but just what are some common real estate practices that go on locally? How do they compare with the real estate practices that go on in larger centers? And also basic real estate etiquette. And some of these things aren't necessarily dictated by rules, by codes of ethics. Although a code of ethics, they usually have some sort of large umbrella code statement that should cover everything. But some of these topics are basically, shall we say, common sense and just courtesies to buyers, to sellers, to realtors. So I thought we'd take a look at that. Let's start off with you have a client, you have a buyer client, and they're interested in looking at homes, and they ask you to book, a showing. What kind of lead time should you be trying for in respect to a seller living in their home? What kind of lead time do we typically get around here? What are some things that can happen with common etiquette in doing that?
I usually try to give 24 hours to the seller's representative.
So 24 hours?
We try to. It doesn't always happen, mm-hmm. but...
What do you think about that, Evelyn?
Well, it gives you the seller enough time, if they have children, to tidy up and make the house very, very presentable. Also, it gives time for your buyer to, if he wants to look at a couple of houses or something like that, it gives you more time for to go out and take a look at other houses, and it gives the sellers more time, because we usually do about an hour in mm-hmm. between, and it depends if it's in the country or whatever. You have to look for your traveling time.
Yeah, it can be difficult to schedule in a country property, can it? Do you ever find yourself receiving a call? You have a seller receiving a call, and somebody wants to view property in an hour, or possibly even they're in the driveway right now. Can we come in? Do you ever get that, Aaron?
Most definitely, and definitely in this market. You know, there's a lot more last minute showing requests, and a lot more buyers seeing something and knowing things are selling really quickly and wanting to get in like now, ASAP. So.
Yes, in this hot market, we might see it more often. I don't want to pick on our GTA realtors, but could we say we sometimes see it a little bit more often from out-of-town realtors?
Well, we see a lot of out-of-town realtors, but there is some companies here in town that belong to the Greater Toronto Board and put all their listings on there, and then that's how they find out what we have down here.
Yeah, that happens too. So Not necessarily will the brokerage have an office here in our community.
There's three that I know of that have offices here, mm-hmm. and the brokers are from out of town. There's a lot of agents that live here that their brokerage is in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Warkworth, Baltimore, Port Hope, Cobourg, and they buy and everything here in town because that's just where they live.
Right. So, yeah, a little bit of a hybrid of such. So, I mean, if somebody is phoning up, because I've been in the same situation where I like to give at least 24 hours notice, but I've been in a situation where I got a buyer and circumstantially they've all of a sudden said, hey, we have time to look at some homes now. Dale, can you do it now? I mean, I always feel a little sheepish making those phone calls, but sometimes we're in a place where we have to do that, aren't we?
Well, when I list a house, I always tell them there's a possibility. So, you know, when you leave in the morning, if you could make your bed, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
If not, tell me and I'll run over and make your bed, but I don't like doing that. But you need to educate your sellers on this might happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Now, here's something, and this topic here is likely what made me think most about doing a show on etiquette, and that is with showings. And here locally, I think you already touched on it, Evelyn, is here locally a tradition has been you book an hour at a time. If you're the second realtor in, that wants around that time, you either take the hour before or the hour after. Can Evelyn you tell us a bit about how that local practice might differ from, say, Durham or the GTA?
Well, because it's common courtesy here with all the realtors that we know. If we go to do a house and Aaron's showing it at 5 o'clock and my people want to see it at 5:30, if she's inside, I do outside. And if outside, she does inside. The Greater Toronto Area, they just come right in.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shark tank, isn't it?
It is, very much so.
And Aaron, there's a few trains of thought here. You either book at separate times so there's no overlap, or you allow overlap by a bit, like Evelyn was saying, or. I mean, I'm guilty of this spring. I had a listing, and it was just so hot, so busy. With every confirmation I added, there may be other showings at the same time. Do you run into anything like that as well with just allowing multiple showings and just hoping people have respect for one another while they're there?
Well, yeah, this spring as well, I ran into the same thing, and I just communicated to every realtor that wanted to show it that they would be piggybacking or somebody would be piggybacking them. The one in particular, I think we had 12 showings in a period of like 7 hours. So mm-hmm. it was handy for my seller in a way. They were out one day, boom, it was done. But hectic at the same time to try and get everybody in. I think as far as, you know, kind of a free-for-all and multiple showings and multiple realtors and buyers going in at the same time, it really isn't any different than an open house. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I see a lot of us around here will advertise either on the MLS or in the newspapers, online, what have you, call now to book your private viewing. So, you know, a buyer here is likely going to expect privacy in their viewing of a property and not wanting the overlap, and it tends to make our local buyers here feel a little bit awkward and uncomfortable, sort of. So
yeah, especially if you're putting that into a listing for a private viewing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of those practices being slightly different, whereas one person at a time versus multiple people at a time. Where do you ladies think that who would be benefiting from one at a time, and who would be benefiting from having multiple viewings at the same time?
Well, the seller definitely benefits from the multiples. You know, they're out one day and boom, it's done. But the buyers, I think, would be at a disadvantage because there's a comfort level that's not there. You may not be wanting to ask your realtor questions when you see something, afraid somebody else might hear what you're saying or something like that. So that's my thoughts on it anyways.
Exactly. But right to the point.
Is there a perspective that you could say even the buyer benefits from seeing other people there? I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you're working with a buyer, you're the only one in the house, maybe there's been already three showings that day, maybe even showings afterwards, but they feel like they have forever, and that could have been the right house for them, but they felt like they just had forever?
Well, when they see other people there, they think, well, you know, if I don't jump on this right away, I'm going to lose out, and that's what happens a lot of times. But they have to take into consideration home inspections, financing. So mm-hmm. we usually tell them to have all that in place.
Right. So, I mean, we could look at benefits for having one showing at a time, but it's not necessarily all bad as long as people are respectful of their time.
Exactly.
I realize that I'm kind of I'm sitting here with a pool of experts, and so I'm going to try to play the devil's advocate aspect of it. I'm going to try to play the seller's role in this. It's much like home inspection in that there's two different perspectives of what the benefit is or what the disadvantage is from the seller or the buyers. But certainly, if I'm selling my home, I want you, and this is just Dave talking as a home seller, I want you to crank as many people through that house as you possibly can. All due respect that we're talking about etiquette from a real estate, that's the topic of the show. I want as many people through that house as possible. If there are three or four people standing in the kitchen and the one buyer turns to their partner and states that they love this house, I want to make an offer, I want the other person in that house to hear that. So from a selling perspective, I would rather see etiquette go out the window, and I'd rather see you crank, you know, 200 people come through. So that's just my point of view on it. From a buyer's perspective, I certainly, number one, I would like to have the privacy, but also it may be an opportunity for me to see that this I wasn't wrong in my gut feel about this house. I wasn't wrong in being attracted to this house. If I see, and I'm doing a tour, and I see that there are, you know, a bunch of people that want to get into this house and it's really busy, then not only am I thinking that I did pick a hot house, but also I wasn't wrong in that, and that I better get myself together. If it's just on my list, maybe it should go higher on my list. So, like I say, I realize the topic we're talking about here today is etiquette, but from a buyer and a seller's perspective, I want lots of action, and certainly more so from the seller's perspective. I love that kind of interest. I like that kind of buzz. So that's my... Is that 30 cents? I think 30 cents worth.
No, that's taking it from the seller's perspective, and that's what's really valuable to us as realtors when we're representing the seller. We want to do the best possible job. So totally valid point, Dave.
You should be handing out the gold stars today. It's usually the guest, but I think I did a spectacular job in that last comment.
I'm just going to give you the whole role, okay?
And get it over with. This is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Please join. Join us all. We're all here in the studio after this short break, and we'll continue to talk about some of the issues that we were talking about as far as real estate etiquette. Thank you very much.
That does not sound good.
I know. And who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and I think you need me.
It's that bad?
Not for long. Head to Midas for a comprehensive brake system evaluation, and if needed, we can install brake pads and shoes that come with a lifetime guarantee. How's that sound?
Like sound advice?
Nice one.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for great customer service from licensed Midas mechanics. For details, give them a call at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
Starting your own business is an exciting time in your life, but are you aware of your legal responsibilities as a business owner? Jim McGrath specializes in business law and knows what needs to be done to protect you and your investment. Jim has been a lawyer for over 30 years and understands the law, so you don't have to. As a local resident and an entrepreneur himself, Jim McGrath is a trusted source in our community for business owners just like you. Call 905-373-1999 and let Jim McGrath give you the legal peace of mind you need.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith, and this is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, local real estate talk. Today we have two guests in the studio with us. We have Evelyn Vandermay, real estate sales representative, and Aaron Toms, real estate representative. And we are talking about common real estate practices. We're talking about real estate etiquette. So, ladies, we just left off talking about viewings and multiple viewings, overlapping viewings. What about a viewing? Aaron, why don't you answer this? You have buyers, and somebody has to use the washroom. What's the etiquette there?
Oh, wow. I have seen that many a times. They're testing the plumbing, usually, to make sure it works. I don't know that I agree that it's appropriate. A bathroom is like the most private and personal space in your home, and yeah.
But you've invited a guest. You've invited a guest into your house.
This is true.
In hopes to sell your $150,000, your $450,000 home. I mean, we all use the washroom sometimes, right? What do you think, Evelyn?
Well, if it's a child, I have no problem with it.
Yeah,
but if it's an adult, I always make sure that I go in and the guys put the toilet seat down.
Yeah, for sure. How about just flushing the toilet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that. And I always tell the agent who has it listed that they did use the washroom.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people need to use it, right? I mean, this is just as basic stuff. Dave, you're itching to say something.
I got to wade in here. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but I'm sitting here looking at you guys. I don't understand this. I saw this on the top. I don't understand this, and I thought it was just you, Dale, because I knew you had an issue with it. But I mean, to me, it's making the commitment to selling your home. I mean, it's making the commitment to selling that home, and I think you need to get, as a seller, and again, I'm speaking as a seller here, not as a home inspector, but you're making a commitment to sell your home. Number one, you want them to really investigate there. If they're serious and they really want, you want them to see all aspects of the home, number one. Number two, again, maybe not the appropriate, maybe point A and point B, but from the perspective of what, if I'm actually selling my home, the last thing I would want to think of is that someone rushed away from my home that may have been a potential buyer because they had to use the facility somewhere. I don't understand the stigma there personally. It wouldn't bother me if someone came through my home. Matter of fact, until I got into this field, it never would have occurred to me that it was a no-no. So I don't understand it. And like I say, from a selling perspective, I don't want anything standing in the way of the customer completely and totally investigating my house. I don't understand the bathroom aspect of it, but obviously if I've got three of you in the room that feel this way, I'm sort of out of the loop on that. But
It's not so much that we feel this way, but I do know when a buyer's in somebody else's home, they feel a little bit uneasy if they have to use the washroom. They feel like they're maybe going beyond just viewing the home, which they are, but I mean, it's something we all have to do. And also, different sellers have different thresholds of what they find acceptable, there are a number of sellers who accept the fact you have to go through their home reluctantly, but they really don't want you to touch anything, and I understand that too. So it's not so much us realtors, but it's the clientele that we're dealing with, and we know the different ways people feel. Evelyn, feedback from a viewing. So a seller, they've allowed people to come through their home, they've left their home, and it's half a day later, a day later, 2 days later, and they haven't received any feedback. Tell us about our practice of giving feedback.
Most of the agents around here are pretty good. I like to, if I have people in the car, I can't give feedback, but I'd like to, as soon as I get back to the office, give feedback. Sometimes some agents are busy and don't get back to you, but if you get feedback from the agent, whether it's positive or negative. It's very, very important because you can give that to the seller. And if there's something that's wrong that we missed or whatever, they can't correct it unless they know.
Exactly, exactly. Good point. And how about the quality, Aaron? How about the quality of feedback? When you read feedback from another realtor, okay, first of all, Aaron, do you assume the feedback is the realtor's feedback or is it the buyer's feedback?
I would hope that it would be the buyer's feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So I know when I'm giving feedback, it's usually because of what my buyers have said. My opinion of the property doesn't matter. It's the potential buyers whose opinion matters. So,
So the quality of feedback you're hoping is from the buyer, not mm-hmm. the realtor. The realtor's sending it to you. Do you typically find that you're getting good quality feedback?
Yeah, it'll usually include what the buyers felt about the price or what they felt about the way the home shows, right? So if they're giving us feedback that, you know, they don't like this paint color or they don't like that, then that's something that my seller can easily change to appeal to more people, right? So detailed feedback, I find we get a lot of that around here. Everybody's usually pretty good for the most part. Sometimes people get busy and forget. I'm guilty of that myself, but I find people pretty good here.
So even if those buyers aren't the buyers for that property, it'll help the seller and the seller's realtor in the future to possibly make some slight alterations to make it appealing to the next person.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is, because I'm aware of how our feedback format is, you know, we have windows where you say exterior, you know, love it, it's fair, we think it's bad, interior, love it. If I'm a realtor representing a buyer and I put love it, love it, love it all over and I just give this gushing feedback, even if it's true, does that put my buyer at a disadvantage when we go into negotiations that now the seller knows we're just gushing all over this house?
I don't think so. I don't think your buyer would be putting an offer in if they didn't want the house, right? So I think just by putting an offer in tells the seller, hey, this person wants my house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So really, not to be afraid of accurate feedback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if they're negative, then they're not going to put an offer in anyways. So mm-hmm. As a buyer's rep, you've signed, you know, that you're going to turn around and represent them. And as a seller's rep, you've signed that you're going to represent them. So I like when you bring an offer to do it yourself, to come and present it. Mm-hmm. And some agents don't do that. So they're not doing justice to their buyer.
If you have to chase down feedback, it hasn't come to you freely. Is there any value in chasing it down?
I don't.
I do.
Do you?
Oh,
I don't.
I'll call them every hour on the hour if I have to get a feedback on the house because the sellers expect that.
Do you think the value of the feedback goes down the more you have to chase?
No, but the respect for the realtor does.
For the realtor not giving the feedback.
That's correct.
Yeah, certainly. What do you think? Does the value go down in your estimation?
I would think it would go down because now that realtor is just trying to shut you up, right? So they're just giving you whatever it is just so you'll stop calling them every hour on the hour, right? So that's why I don't chase for it. I mean, obviously they're not interested or we would have heard, you know, I really appreciate when I get it. But if I don't get it, I might send one message just in case someone legitimately forgot. And if I don't hear from them after one follow-up message, then we just leave it. So,
if I could once more interject, as a seller, and I sold a few homes, and it might, like most things, I want your feedback as a seller, but I want it to be truthful. I want it to be meaningful, and I want value. I really feel that when I bring you in as my agent, that it is part of your responsibility to get that feedback from me. I don't care how you get it, but I want it. What I don't want, and I'll give you an example of an absolute feedback. We weren't getting action on our home. I actually had to push my realtor to find out what the feedback was. And the feedback I got was they didn't like the home because it didn't have a two-car garage. My answer was, it didn't have a two-car garage in the listing. That's not feedback. I need real feedback so that I can work with you to strategically get my house. If they say the living room is too small, then maybe we should do something with the furniture. If they say it seems too dark, maybe we should be painting it. I need your feedback as a seller to work with you to get the house sold, because that's what I think we've entered into this agreement to do.
Boy, he's hot today.
Yeah, Dave is hot. Dave's having a good day. Must have had a good sleep last night. So, ladies, you're driving some buyers around, and you maybe have 4, 5, 6 homes. Big viewing day. And you drive up to one home with your buyers, and you park the car in front of the house or in the driveway, and they say, "Carry on. We really don't have to see this house. It's not what we thought it looked like on the web." What do you do?
I get out, and if the seller is still there, I explain to them that my people have decided that they didn't want to look at the house, and then wait for feedback from them. And I also phone the agent and say, just in case they had another showing coming up, that we won't be viewing the house. Because it's only common courtesy, because they've gone all through the trouble of cleaning this house and everything else for a viewing. And then, you know, you just don't say anything. That's not appropriate.
What about you, Erin? Is there anything you do?
I carry on, but I call the realtor and let them know, like, before. I don't wait. You know, I might call them right from the car, even with my clients there, just to let them know ASAP. So, you know, just in case the sellers are out. And they're timing it. Okay, we got to be back at this time. So they're not wasting more time than they already have. So,
because the seller really wants to know, has somebody been in my house? Because they'll look for that business card, and they'll look for signs that something was moved. And if they don't see it, then they start to wonder, what went on here? We did a whole lot of work to get ready. One of the things I like to do is I just tell my buyers, I say, okay, that's fine. We're not going to look at it, but give me 1 minute. I'm going to go in. I'm going to place a business card on the counter or on the table, wherever is appropriate, and then I'll get back to that realtor later that day. So at least the people know we did show up in some capacity. And so then I think about business card. Another common etiquette, leaving the business card so the seller knows. Have either one of you ever been in a situation where you reach into your pocket, your purse, and you say, "Oh my, okay, I don't have a business card. I just ran out on the last home." And if so, what do you do then?
Well, that would never happen. That's extremely unprofessional.
You would never.
It has happened. It's happened to all of us. The only thing you can do is, again, with the feedback right away, mention it. You know, I forgot my cards. The cards are in the other vehicle. I'm out of cards, but I was there. Yeah, the dog ate them. Yeah.
How about you, Evelyn? Any ideas for that?
I usually have a piece of paper or stuff like that just for that, and I'll put it down and apologize and say thank you for the viewing.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because the people...
Like just done a pretty face.
I like that.
Yeah, the people really, really want to know that somebody's come by.
All right. Well, once again, I'm going to, because Dale is not giving me the opportunity to give my opinion, I'm going to say two things. One, as a buyer, and I pull up to your house, if I'm not going to buy that house, I do not want to waste my time or your time or anyone's time to go in the house if I have no intention of buying it.
But you already did by booking the showing. Yes.
But sometimes you don't see it until you're actually sitting in front of it. Again, I'm not just throwing it out there. Sometimes you get a good feel. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes houses surprise you as well. You may not have thought it would be a goodie. But we're going to come on back. We have some wonderful guests here today, and we're going to continue to talk about ethics in realty.
As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's 3 others doing what you do, or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
Listen to us worldwide. Go to northumberland897.ca and select Listen Now or download our TuneIn app for your mobile.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's Real Estate Talk. And our guests today are Aaron Toms, local real estate sales representative, and Evelyn Vandermeer, local real estate representatives here in Northumberland County. So, Dave, let's pick up.
Dale.
Yes. Let's pick up from where we left off.
All right. So I have a question for Evelyn. I'm bumping over the blue here, Dale. I'm needling you out here. Evelyn, during your time in the business, have you seen a change in real estate etiquette from buyers and sellers and realtors? Do you see a big difference there?
Absolutely. I've been doing it for 29 years, so I've seen a lot of changes. A lot of things people are emailing or texting and not getting back to you personally on the phone because you can only put so much on a computer or on your cell phone. Aaron's looking at me here. but when I started, we didn't even have cell phones. So we're just, my age group is used to talking to people and picking up mm-hmm. the phone. And if there's a problem, you can work it out when you're talking. But when you're texting, some people use acronyms. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, just spell what you mean.
Absolutely, if you can.
If you can, yeah, even coming close helps, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Even coming close helps. So you've seen a different in real estate etiquette and practices with realtors or even with the consumers?
Both.
With both.
With both.
Just a different attitude in the air.
Yes, there is. Because there's not a lot of contact sometimes. Like I said, you know, when you want feedback or whatever, I like to talk to them because a lot of realtors out of town don't give feedback, and that's what they say when you call them. They just mm-hmm. say, you know, well, if we didn't buy it, we didn't want it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help the seller, like mm-hmm. Dave here, to tell them what the problem is, you know?
Absolutely. Let's take a look at, Aaron, let's take a look at a home inspection. Somebody likes a house, they've put in an offer, and they want a home inspection. Is it just etiquette that the realtor be there with the home inspector during the time the home inspection's there? Should the realtor just book the inspection? Should they be there? Should they be there the whole time?
I think the realtor should be there the whole time. Personally, that's what I feel. If anything arises in the home inspection, we're at least then there to know what we're going to have to go back to the sellers about, what came up in the home inspection. It just makes dealing with that whole negotiating afterwards much easier when you know what you're talking about.
So it absolutely feels right, but is it even more than feeling right? Is it something RICO, the real estate body, would they have an opinion, do you think, on this, Evelyn?
Well, every board is different, and our mm-hmm. board states that the buyer's agent has to be there for the home inspection.
For the entire time.
That's correct.
So it's more than just etiquette. It's a level of safety. Not to say, Dave, that you're a dangerous man, but we take on a lot of responsibility when we enter somebody else's home, and even if it's with another professional, don't we?
Absolutely, because sometimes you have to hold the ladder for Dave so he doesn't fall off the roof, but other than that, we let him do his own.
That's a good one. Yes. I like that one.
Yeah. Dave, what about you? Your chance to rant, Dave.
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock.
Any points of etiquette? Yeah, I
3 minutes.
I waited this long.
Yeah, you pushed it off as far as you can. All right, so I'm going to get myself into some trouble here, I'm sure. And actually, I was doing really well about buttering myself up in the breaks. Now I'm going to take that all away. What I would love to see, a little bit for everyone's benefit, because everybody's in a hurry. Okay, everybody's in a hurry. Everybody wants the home inspection to be done as quick as possible. I understand that. You can, as a realtor and as a seller, you can take like the format that I use for my how to survive your home inspection. Although we deal with it in kind of a humorous way, it is something you could find on the internet. Many different opinions, but prepare the house for the home inspection. Get it ready for the home inspection. Get the attic hatches cleared. Get the furnace cleared out and around. Get everything out and exposed. Leave a list of things that may have been improvements in the house. All of these things, all that information is really handy. Please, as a realtor, please don't start the inspection by telling me you have to leave by a certain time. that happens all too often. Yeah, I want you to, as a realtor, understand that the client's best interest is my priority, not your schedule. The priority is on the customer who's actually buying this home and is taking the risk on this home and is, in fact, paying for my services.
Dave, you're saying don't call me for a home inspection and then expect me to be out of here in no time flat. A thorough, comprehensive home inspection, how much time should you be allotting for that?
3.5 hours.
3.5 hours.
3.5 hours.
Explain what you're going to do.
Yes.
Do what you're going to do.
Yes.
And then give a summary at the end, pack up and leave.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have to understand, too, things like Century Homes. There's just an awful lot more in that home. And it isn't, I'm not tainting Century Homes. It's just in reality, there's a lot more variables because of the building code or lack therefore of. There's a lot of things that have happened in the lifetime of that home. And to be able to package up every home inspection and say every single home, regardless of size, age, condition, and the acumen or the fear level, the temperature in the room per se of the buyer, can all be fit within a 3-hour time frame, I think is optimistic. If I find a problem or we find something that needs answers, I'm going to keep digging until I can come up with a satisfactory answer. I only get one chance to do that inspection. Nobody wants me to come back, and nobody wants me to leave, including the buyer and the seller, with a big question mark. And as a seller and as a realtor, you would think that would be your priority as well. You want a conclusive answer at the end of that inspection, and the time it takes should be secondary to getting a thorough and complete home inspection, regardless of the outcome. That would be my statement on that. One more thing. Gary Bettman, commissioner of the NHL, and a lawyer.
Everybody loves him.
And a lawyer once said, don't ask a question you don't already know the answer to. So in saying that, please, in the presence of the buyer, realtors, don't ask the inspector to quantify the home in one line. I get asked that a lot. In other words, how did the inspection go? And secondly, to ask the question that makes me ballpark costing beyond my scope of expertise. I find mold in an attic. Can you give us a ballpark of how much that's going to cost? We have leaky plumbing. Can you give me a ballpark? No, I cannot give you a ballpark. Okay? Ask if a deficiency is serious or not. I have no idea whether it's serious, and you don't want me to do that to your buyer. And the last one, and you couldn't believe I said this when we discussed the show yesterday. Yes, I have been in front of the buyer, had a realtor say to me, would you buy this house? That is not relative in any way, shape, or form on a home inspection. What I find in a house, what I like in a house, what I prefer in a house, or the condition and the abilities I have to prepare a home have nothing to do with this home inspection today. So please, as a realtor, don't ask me that question. It's not going to benefit your buyer.
Well, Dave, maybe the home inspection report was so poor they knew they were looking for a new buyer.
Yeah, but we were talking about my inspections, I think.
Anyways, just before we go, ask Evelyn. Evelyn, you've been doing this for some time. Any funny story, real estate story you could share with no names, no brokerage, no addresses, anything situational?
Is a family show, right?
This is a family show.
One night about 3 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. A lady couldn't hardly speak English. She hadn't been in Canada that long. And she said, I think I have heart attack. And I said, well, call 911. She said, I can't find 911 on my phone. So I had to call 911. Thankfully, she did not have a heart attack. But
she went to a realtor.
She called me at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's a trust level.
Yes.
Wow, wow. Well, I'd like to thank Evelyn. Thank you for joining us again today.
You're
quite
Aaron,
welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. A great show. Always great to have you, both of you, in the studio with us. And Evelyn, if somebody would like to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
At REMAX Lakeshore Realty Inc. Brokerage at 905-373-7653, which equates to sold.
Perfect. And Aaron?
Then call me direct at 905-376-0246.
All right. Well, that's another one in the books. Mr. Bryant, next week, yes, we're inviting back to the show Mike Berry. He's the owner of Comfort Zone Heating and Air Conditioning. Comfort Zone has just unveiled a brand spanking new showroom on William Street right here in Cobourg. They've expanded their offerings to really be a much more retail offering, and they now display 28 burning gas, wood, and pellet fireplace and stoves. An immaculate showroom. They've done a beautiful job. And, of course, they're going to reaffirm what they've always done best, which is great service. It'll be great to have Mike back on the show. It's been an exciting time for him and his staff. If you have any questions or comments or any topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca, or you can call into the radio station at 905-372-2391.
And don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday morning from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Until next week, folks.